Blog Talk Radio.
Boom again, Shalom Chaparim. Here we have today's daily psalm. We have Psalm
89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen, and 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 amen. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, 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 even in Jerusalem, 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 even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah, 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 against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And the house of David shall be as God, as God, as God, as God.
Kadamawi, Kadamawi, Inflatia!
The whole place is due for help.
And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, one shepherd, one shepherd, one shepherd, one shepherd.
The hand of the Lord is upon me, I will dance like David.
We're midnight, 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 תשפטו עוול ופני רשעים יישאו סלע שפטו דל ויתום עני ורש הצדיקו פלטו דל ואביון מיד רשעים הצילו לא ידעו ולא יבינו בחשיכה יתהלכו ימותו כל מוסדי ארץ אני אמרתי אלוהים אתם ובני עליון כולכם אכן כאדם תמותון וכאחד השרים תיפולו קומה אלוהים שפטה הארץ כי אתה תנחל בכל הגויים
Psalm 82.
Mizmor Pevet, Mizmor Lashon.
God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. The mighty.
Elohim nitzav ba'adat el.
He judgeth among the gods.
Bekerem Elohim yishkot.
How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. He shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations, 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 inherit all nations.
Sabbatical study, this Ainai Rastafari sabbatical. Shem Av Wahabein Ruaha Kadosh. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Glory be. Glory be. We're going to ride up here for this force. Hear. Shema, give ear. Here for the Shalishi, the third Aliyah, here for the third Aliyah, here for this Shabbat Re'ei, Sabbath, behold, Sabbath, see, here, picking up with the fifth book of Moshe, of Moses, the Hebrew book called Deuteronomy chapter 12, the conditions of Baraka, blessing in the land, here picking up with verse 29 for the Shalishi, for the third Aliyah, the third reading, the third up offering for this Shabbat Re'ei. Ki yakriti yawa Eloheka eta hagoyim asha ata ba shama la resheta otama mipaneka we ya rashta otam we ya shabta bi aritzam. When Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the Elohim, shall cut off the nations from before thee, I, ki yakriti Yahweh Eloheka, et ha-goyim, whither where thou goest to possess them, asha ata ba shama la resheta otam mipaneka, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their land, with ya rashta otam with ya shabta bi'aricham. Take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them after that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their Elohim, their gods, saying, how did these nations, these nationalities, serve their Elohim? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so. To Jehovah the I Elohim. For every abomination, La Yahweh, to Jehovah, which he hateth, have they done to their Elohim? For even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their Elohim, their gods. What thanks soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. And here, Shema Israel. Here, give ear. Fifth book of Moshe, Hebrew book called Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 13, the test of false prophets. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake to thee, saying, let us go after other Elohim, Elohim Acharim, which thou hast not known, and let us make us, make I and I serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words, the debarim of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For Yahweh Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh Elohim, proveth you to know whether ye all love Yahweh Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh Elohim, with all your heart and with all your soul, your psyche. Ye shall walk after Yahweh Elohim, after Jehovah Yahweh Elohim, and fear him and respect him, and keep his commandments, his imperatives, and obey Shema, his vocal, his voice. And ye, y'all, shall serve him and cleave to him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he have spoken to turn you away from Yahweh Elohim, Jehovah Yahweh Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the land of Kemet, Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah, the I Elohim, commanded thee to walk in, to trod in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. If thy brother, Windemir, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which who is as thine own soul, thine own nephesh, psyche, entice thee secretly, Lemor, saying, let us, make I and I go and serve Elohim, Acharim, other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely, the Elohim, the gods of the people, which who are round about you, nigh, near to the eye, or far off from the eye, from the one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earthly plain. Thou shalt not consent to him, nor hearken to him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spear, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all Ha'am, all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he died, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, who brought thee out of the land of Mitzrayim, out of the land of Kemet, Egypt, from the house of bondage. And all Yisrael, call Yisrael, shall hear and fear and respect reverence, and shalt do no more any such wickedness, ratchetness as this is among you. If thou shalt hear, say, in one of thy cities, which Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, have given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, of Beliah, Blair, Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve Elohim Acharim, other gods, which y'all have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof. And thou shalt burn with fire the city, and all the spoil thereof, every whit. For Jehovah the Elohim. And it shall be a heap for Ivor. It shall not be built again. And there shall cleave nought of the cursed thing to thine hand, that Yahweh Jehovah may turn from the fierceness of his anger and shew thee chesed, mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he hath sworn to thy fathers, to thy patriarchs. When thou shalt hearken to the voice of Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim, to keep all his commandments, his imperatives, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of Yahweh Eloheka, Jehovah the I Elohim.
Elohim,
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 Elohim.
You're not done, Big Jesus. Yes. And how can you fight against fire when the fire is for purification? Then if the fire don't burn any of them, can't get purified. So I'm gonna have the fire. When you know how that.
It's in Selassie, I who me represent. Me not red, me finger for no government. The rich had the dollar and the poor had the cent. Them call me a squatter, to me not pay no rent. Well, dreadlocks gonna never live in a tenement. Higher class of the employment. Them high bar to viper full of our excitement. And lower class under exploitment. And so you get the message and you hear the comment. Niggas not gonna give me the consent. From the far right from creation.
So your blessing comes, then you feel the wind blow. Marijuana seed may just unfold. Look at the children grow. Then you know, then you know, then you know.
Oh, oh. Well, this is a warning. Selassie is calling. You see the peace falling. The people them bawling.
Well, I've been warning them for the longest time. Still them never pay me no mind. And even though I try to cool and humble, they still wanna see. Never get caught in Babylon's dissolution. But there's some part, he locked the lion. When Babylon a full-time on the reckon, commend the youth among the positive mission. If I don't hear me king, prepare for not this mission. Well, Babylon now open not hear me expression. This is not a letter, nor a telegram, I just me render. Fire, come back, come back, come back.
I'm a body wicked man. Forget about the man who opened it. King Selassie is to be melody.
They always figure that they run top of the world, yeah. They always come to steal the children's souls, hey. The king from my life, they got control. No, 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 cause all praise belongs to John.
For my tongue, thinking I have written higher, go on down with tongue. And the iniquity workers in Gomorrah and Sodom, when them hear the Rasta wanna where them come from, in the Ethiopia, where they beat them, get it drunk. Babylonians get weak, and them are start run. Yeah, hide from the fire, the purification. Go burn out your soul, burn out corruption. Oh, for the Vatican, the Queen of England, the
people. The Ethiopians also. Ye shall be slain by my sword, 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 my sword. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword,
slain by my sword,
slain by ye Ethiopians.
fathers. And we give particular emphasis to that, especially into that, especially into that. Very interesting theme can be brought out with as he promised or as he swore to that, as he swore to that. Very interesting theme can be brought out with as he promised or as he swore to thy fathers. Find this as also another refrain. Take note of the refrains. The refrains is like the, we call it the azmach, like the chorus line, or these lines that are repeated. You know, sometimes even almost seemingly equidistant, like an equal distance away. It's repeated as a, for emphasis, such as he promised to thy fathers. And we give particular emphasis to that, especially in days like these, you know, days and times like these, to the fathers. Now, some would say, well, to the fathers and the mothers. Well, that's very nice. You know, if you want to say that, that's very nice. Look at what nice means, the etymology of nice. It's very ignorant, right? Certain things are the mothers, you know, and have been the mothers, always been that way, always will be that way. Even within the so-called black and the brown, once lost, now found community, we almost overly remind ourselves, right, about that which is due to the mothers, and are totally negligent with that which is due to the fathers, especially the righteous patriarchs, because the unrighteous ones, you know, we disregard them, as the commandment basically implies that we should, you know. We speak about the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, but to a thousand generations that love. So there's the choice. We even have the sons of Korah, Libnei Korah, as in the Mizmor, the Sefer Tehillim. There's the sons of Korah is a prime example. Their father, right? In fact, a few ones are descended from the Korahite line, even Shemuel, right? Shemuel, you know, Samuel also from that particular lineage of Korah. And we have the sons of Korah and their Eilifel Psalms that are part of the Hebraic, we could say the Judaic liturgy as well. They made a choice too. Their father, their patriarch, did Ukkari, but they chose differently. This is what the command or the Esaret HaDibarim actually basically implies almost overtly, directly, but you have to meditate, iditate on it, study to shoot yourself approve, and you'll find that in that word. You know, when it's about the third and the fourth generation, some might think that means just because you're descendant of one who did Ukkari, then Ukkari is upon thee. Because of that Ukkari, there's a decision, there's a choice. Now, people talk about free will, say that you don't have free will, or that the scriptures, you know, some very nice people, ignorant folks, ignoramuses, idiotes, we call it idiotes. Idiotes doesn't just mean idiot in the modern sense. Idiotes, ideo in the Greek, means like to see something from your own perspective. Right? Now, that's important in some senses, and it's totally unimportant in other senses. So sometimes it's necessary, in other words, to be a idiot, or to see something your own way. But in other cases, it is totally wrong to see. This is the difference between the ye and the thee. In that sense, the ye and the thee that we find within the scripture. The ye, the y'all, and the I, male, both speaking to the individual male as well as speaking to the corporate entity, right, of Yisrael, all as one man, that responsibility. Going to build on that a little bit more, but just looking at some of the rhema words that we have in this 47th Torah portion. We've gone through the first few aliyot, right, as well as reflecting on the previous Torah portion, because there's a continuity. There's a continuity here. Here we pick up with re, to see, right, re. This word also links Ethiopically, Afro-Shemitically with ra'i, the vision, to behold. The verb is singular. The verb is a singular verb, re'e, not re'u, as we have Reuven or Reuben, Reuven, but here re'e, re. The verb singular addressed to each one of them, to each one of them as one man, speaking to the, we could say, the whole church body, so to speak, to all the members of the body, right? Then we have the ye, right, the y'all. Right, the y'all, because each one has a particular, you could say, personal responsibility to this. So in the ye sense, you know, it's more of that choice, you know, the choice factor. There's more of the choice factor to the thee sense, right? It's like be one's brother's keeper. Every Yehudi, every Judahite, every Israelite is responsible to be his brother's keeper. And who is, right, who is my brother? Remember that question that they asked, who is my brother? And also the answer, right? Those who seek to do the will of my father, of our father. So in the Torah portion, and throughout the Torah, even throughout the scriptures, but especially at the foundation in the Torah where it speaks of to thy fathers, to thy fathers. It reminds me of the previous Torah portion where it had read that this covenant, right, this covenant was made with us. and not with our fathers. I don't know if you recall that right there where it says that the covenant, this covenant was made with us and not with our fathers. What does that mean? Let's zoom in on that right here. The covenant, let's just look that up right here, was made with us and not our fathers. And not our fathers. That this covenant has he made with us, right, and not our fathers. Let's see, here we have Deuteronomy. It's in Deuteronomy. Is it right here? Forget not the covenant. Okay, here we have Deuteronomy 4 and 31. These are just some key verses right here. Here we go, 5 and 3. And Deuteronomy 5 and 3, all right, just to get a build right here, as this is a continuity from the previous Torah portions, all right, and the building up on the previous Torah portion. Also going to seek to look at the positive, the plus and the minus. Plus and the minus, so the positive and the negative commands. And then also here, we are looking at the baraka and the kalala. The baraka, the blessing, and the kalala, right, and the curse or consequence. So here in Deuteronomy 5 and 3, it reads that Yahweh, Jehovah, made not this covenant, this berit, with our fathers, but with us, even us, with I and I, who all of I and I here alive this day. That's the KJV reading, right? The KJV reading, the covenant, this covenant. So here we have the Hebrew says, lo et, let's see right here. Here we go right here. Okay, lo et abotenu, lo et abotenu, karat yowa, et ha-barit hazot ki itanu, anachnu eile fo hayom kulanu chayim. So Yahweh, Jehovah, made not this covenant with who? Abotenu, with our fathers, but with us, even us, I and I, who are all of us, I and I, here alive this day. What does this mean? He didn't make it with our fathers. Note right here, we're in Deuteronomy. Here we have a new generation of Yisrael. The 40 years, right? The 40 years have passed. We're coming to the fulfillment of the 40 years right here. The older generation, the old school generation, basically, by and large, with a few exceptions, had passed away. This is very interesting, for there were many among the new generation. There were some among the new generation who had witnessed Ha-Elohim's covenant on Har Sinai, on Mount Sinai. Now, some interpret this that, well, he did not make it with our fathers, our forefathers who lived in Kemet, who lived in Egypt. Remember that when they came out, that 40-year-ago generation, some of them had little children, all right? But many of them who had lived all their life in Kemet, in Mitzrayimah, in Egypt, all right? Another look at this says, well, this particular covenant here links with the Brit Chadasha, or with the New Covenant, in a very interesting way. As we read the New Testament, and this is where a lot of confusion comes in, because a lot of the Hebrews and a lot of the ancient Israelites, they gloss over these areas. Many don't do due diligence, you know, like in the sabbatical, some of them don't keep really the sabbatical studies in the same ancient and the trustworthy order, you know, of studying, you know, the section by section, or some say portion, parsha by parsha, and going into these details here. Many might just note certain, you know, verses, certain sections, to make a certain point, whether to the so-called racial identity of ethnic Israel, or to certain other of the consequences or curses that are unique to so-called black and brown people. Some might emphasize those areas, or the humanity of HaMashiach Yeshua, as it were, and they will point to verses with the Old Testament or New Testament to bring out those particular points. You know, so often, you know, people will have certain key verses. They'll go just to the verse and they'll reason within their way of thinking, idiodotes, you know, on these particular verses, some rightly, some wrongly, so forth and so on. But to really go through a diligent study, you see, because even if you study a chapter, you know, you get to know a little more about the context of these words and verses in the chapter, but it's also connected with other chapters. And sometimes false positives, you know, like something that's false that we may really feel assuredly of, right, in a sense. Yes, it's in this chapter. Yes, it's mentioned here. But in the fuller context of it, if you don't read the volume, that's what it's about, the volume. We talk about the Pentateuch, as some people refer to it in the kind of a Greek. Basically, it means five volumes, five books. and that's, you know, the Greek one, the other kind of garbage that some of the Chemites, professedly Kemetic, you know, would speak to you about. See, that's where the confusion came in for the Israelites as well. They're getting something new, right? But many of them, it's like taking the Hebrew out of so-called Egypt or Kemet, but the Kemet, because many of them had lived, right, their whole lives. Some of them were born and they grew, right, in the Kemetic ghetto, you know, in the Egypt, in Mitzrayim. Right, so there's a twofold emphasis. One is the emphasis that we're speaking to a new generation here, right? Not the forefathers, right? The forefathers who lived in Egypt, even when Yaakov and Jacob and the patriarchs went down to Egypt from such a time. But also, we can also speak about Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, right? About the fathers. So when we see in the majority of areas, you know, that as he promised, he says, as he promised your forefathers, he has not given us this land because we were the best of people, right? Because we were the most in number of people, you know, because we were, because of no particular advantage of who we, particularly as people, right, or even persons be, but it's because of that yay and that amen, that word, right, that word that he has spoken. So that's also another related area here to look at. This particular phraseology, especially in Deuteronomy, since this is a book, this is the Sefer HaDevarim that we are in, where it speaks about thy fathers, the word that he has promised, according to the promise that he has made, as he has sworn, as he has sworn to our fathers, as he has promised to our fathers. Who are those fathers spoken of? Those fathers spoken of is Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those three, we say the Hebrew, and this means the Hebrew trinity of those particular three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's because of everything connects with those particular, we could say Hebrew, right, or Israelitish on that particular level, ancestors. Those particular ancestors. And of course, the respective matriarchs. But the key word here is the word that he speaks here, as he has promised to our fathers, patriarchs. Now, just in the meditation, I say, wow, with the, you could say, with the destruction of the righteous black patriarch and even the whole father, this kind of a gender, part of the gender war, you know, satanic gender war and these ups and downs and all that's going on now, confusion with like the, you know, anti-fathers, deadbeat black fathers, deadbeat this, deadbeat that, this kind of Osirian, it's like an Osirian motif, if you think about it, it's like the whole Osirian motif. It's like spiritual Egypt in a sense. Right? Because we look at the whole Osirian motif, the general view of Osar and so forth and so on. It is basically the deadbeat theme, the deadbeat theology, right? This whole deadbeat theology. But this is not the Hebrew theology. So no doubt many of the Israelites were wrestling with that as well. Because we can look at some instances, even Moshe himself, where was Moses' father? Right? Where was Aaron's father? Miriam's father? Even there was a point that was mentioned to Moshe that Hashem said to Moshe that if her father had spit in her face, these old kind of, what we call it, these idioms, like a kind of a Hebrew idiom. I mean, black folks got enough of these kind of things, you know, even in different parts of the diaspora, you know, these particular idiomatic ways that we say certain things, whether it's patois, whether it's some country kind of a phrase. But this is like one of those phrases, basically. If he had reproved her. In other words, she was almost like a daughter, in a sense, a daughter, left to herself. This doesn't mean that she did not do certain good and virtuous things. We know that Miriam did. But then at this particular point, lacking that fuller discipline. Some of us have even looked at Moshe, in a sense, and see the emotionality of Moshe. And Moshe, you know, basically, the influence in Moshe, connecting with Moshe, what do we have? He resisting being the son of Pharaoh's daughter, right? He chose affliction with the people, right, of Israel, or with the Hebrews, right, in Kemet, the Aperu in Kemet, than to be considered to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, to have son of Pharaoh's daughter as his identity. You see, so how do we identify ourselves? You know, and just doing certain reflective kind of research, you know, like I said, look at all the way that Yahweh Eloheinu has led I and I and we. It says to recall this way, right? So we have even here within Torah, within the fifth book, the Sefer Devarim, we have a recollection. Moshe begins off. He kicks it off from the very beginning by making a recollection of how they got here, to a new generation. So recalling our history, you know what I mean? It's almost like this was the Hebrew history moon, a history month right here for them, this particular time right here within the narrative. They're getting a, you know, recalling all the way, going all the way back to Egypt, some highlight incidences. So in the same way, reflecting on even we black people here in this North Country, here after approximately 400 years from the in the 1619-2019 count, here coming into the Ethiopic 2012 or the Gregorian 2020, they say that hindsight is 2020. You know, so sometimes looking back or recalling, reflecting, looking, it's in our rear view. So this is a lot of this is basically what was in the Hebrew and the Israelitish rear view. You know, it's like a rear view reflection. But this is necessary not just for us reflecting on what they went through as a principle, yes, but then also for us in this particular event horizon to also reflect, right, on our experience, right, on the ups, on the downs, on the follies, on the undergrounds, all of that. This is what we have right here. But the particular emphasis on the righteous patriarch, I've said this before to a few ones, and just to once again share this right here, it's like before Abraham, right, before Abraham, it's almost like the earthly plane was in extreme satanic, and I'm going to put the satanic here because it became adversarial, even to its own best interests. You know, sometimes women do, you know, rise up for the good, but they, you know, without regulation, a soul without instruction, right? Without instruction is headed for self-destruction. You know, even in looking at the matriarchy, there was a matriarchy before, right, Abraham. Abraham represents the rise of the righteous patriarchy and a realignment of the proper, we could say, the male-female, that divine double helix, as it was and as it was intended in the very beginning. It says, he made man, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And what does it say? Male and female, he made them. Now, according to Moshe in Moshe's first book, there's this particular choice factor, right? This choice factor. We have Hawa, Eva, Eve, right, and we have Adam, and most of us know that we don't look at that, you know, look at the narrative or interpret it as counterfeit, whitewash, Western Gentile Christianity and Romanism and all their demon nomination, all their harlot daughters, all the different so-called Christian denominations, the majority of them do, because most of them, you know, interpret that according to the world flesh and the satanic seclorum way, which is like, you know, when it says that in order to enter back into the garden, it says that there is a cherubim that has a sword that turned both ways. It's kind of interesting, some of the ways that this can be expressed in the Hebrew Judaic teachings as well, but also how they manifest in reality. So the emphasis on the fathers, right, is an emphasis on righteous patriarchy. Let's emphasize that, because we're not here to defend, just as a point, just patriarchy, you know, or even matriarchy, right, but righteousness. So we have an emphasis here on the patriarchs, which shows that ancient Mitzrayim or ancient Kemet was a very matriarchal system as well, but it was out of balance. Note that right there, that he would have been considered to be who? A son of Pharaoh's daughter. Not a son of Pharaoh, but son of Pharaoh's daughter. Right now, the particular Pharaoh's daughter that we point to, Hatshepsut, in that particular time in Egypt, also is very interesting if one seeks to study it a little bit, you know, a little bit more right there. But in spite of the society being matriarchal, does not mean that it was always beneficial to the womb man, you know, just to say so. You know, because some would get the false impression that because, you know, it's matriarchal, this means it was good for all women, or there was a respect, as people say, you know, for all women, and everything went well for women. No. There was a lot of, can we say this, keeping, you know, strong language, but accurate language, a lot of bitch-ass-ism, right? Pharaoh was what we would say, it was a bitch-ass nigga. You know, you can tell this about his behavior. And also Moses seems to have been one that grew up strongly around a matriarchal, right, a feminine and a matriarchal influence. Why do we say this? It's when we study him as a leader. This is very interesting, as a leader, and some of the emotionality, the emotions, and the heat of many of these emotions, right? Because you have to remember that who were the male figures in Moses' life, right? So see, this is how Jah does, you know, as people say, he uses whom he pleases, or he chooses and uses whom he pleases. He chose Moses because of the integrity of his heart, right, and what sort of person he was. But even with Moses, can we detect the emotionality of a male who has been influenced, right, maybe heavily by matriarchal or feminist instincts, and still is getting acquainted, right, almost like acquainted with being fathered, because the father, if you notice within the scripts, you know, there's many times, many times we find this with Moses. But like I said, the emphasis right here was basically to speak about how the scripts emphasize all this is because of what he who be who he be promised to our patriarchs, the righteous patriarchs. And here in Deuteronomy 5:3, it says that Jehovah made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us. So we have a covenant that was made with the fathers, but this, notice what it says, this key word right here, but this covenant, ha-berit ha-zot, this covenant he has made with I and I and not with them. So this is where we have in the New Covenant and the New Testament scriptures being spoken of the distinction between the covenant, one covenant, and the next covenant. See, a lot of ones, when they hear covenant, they say, well, it's just all one covenant, right? Well, in a summary, a kind of a, you know, in an overview way, you can see all of the covenants as pertaining to one overall covenant. But it's important to really look at this distinction that this covenant is not that covenant. Remember, there was the Abrahamic covenant. Now, this makes a lot of sense when we start to look at the boundaries and the borders of what is referred to as the promised land, or that land grant. We like to refer to it as a land grant. That land grant, upon coming out of Egypt and through the wilderness, was of different dimensions than the land grant that was promised to Abraham. And Paul, Hawari, Apollos, Rav Shaul, and the apostles, even more so in the New Testament scriptures, in the New Testament, the epistles, this is also brought out more. You know, Paul especially, Rav Shaul, Hawari, Apollos especially, and many of the ain't right Israelites reject Paul, whether they are Old Testament only view or whether they're Old Testament and the New Covenant view. Some reject Paul because they are not really acquainted with the foundation, the groundation. But they think that Paul is just saying something, right, or just making up something, or just deceiving, while they themselves are deceived because they have not studied. That's what we emphasize right here, Deuteronomy 5:3, right, where it says, this covenant, explain which covenant he made with the fathers, explain which fathers is he talking about. When he says fathers, are we to assume that he's just talking about each of their individual daddies, daddies? Did he make a covenant with each of the individual daddies from Kemet? Or is this speaking of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? Right? Blessed be the way it says, I am the way it says, Elohei Abraham, the Elohei Yitzhak, the Elohei Yaakov. The same one who spoke to Moshe and said that he was known as El Shaddai, but by his name, Yahweh, Jehovah, he was not known to them. You know, remember that revelation right there of the Melaach Panayo, of the angel of the presence, the same angel which Jacob sought to know his name, the same one who blessed him. Remember what Jacob said? And the angel who redeems me, right? The angel who redeemed me in the house of Dawid, right, shall be as God, as the angel of Yahweh, as the angel of Jehovah. So these links that we have, I just kind of went over just a few highlights, both from the Torah, right, as well as from the prophets, so that we can get the full picture. See, it's getting that full picture, which no doubt those of the righteous, because of being righteous, they had the right to know, and being in the right spirit and seeking to do what is right. That's another theme as well. What is right in his sight? Notice that says what is right, what is good, and what is right in whose sight? So that idea of sight and perspective, or the POV, the point of view, is very, very important. When we talk about good and evil, you have people philosophizing on what's good and how do we know what's good and how we know what's evil, and some interesting philosophies, if you're into that, so forth and so on. But when we're speaking about reality, when we're speaking about, you know, what is really real, right, in context of this word, is what he defines to us as being good is good, and what he defines to us as being evil is evil. This, too, right, is part of the covenant, the covenantal point of view. What is that covenantal point of view? So here is being reminded to the Israelites that the covenant that we have here, see, this is the covenant that leads to what they call the Palestinian covenant. Some, I think, Schofield Study Bible refers to it as the Palestinian covenant, and there are approximately 8 covenants. Ethiopia, Kingdom of God, and God bless the soul of Nebuta Ed Armias Cabeda Waldeyesus, you know, and his particular work, he counted actually, how many covenants? He counted 7 covenants. And in looking over the work and saying, though we agree with him in many, at least some of the foundational things,
there's other things that, you know, seem to be going into disagreeable zones, but the basic foundation, you know, that which no doubt was even passed to him from the time of His Majesty, that was, you know, some standing, was it a true church in the professing church, the first principles of the faith, we say, well, why does he say seven and we say eight? Which one is correct? Which one's incorrect? Well, he is correct in the seventh. But there's the eighth one, which is not mentioned. And so the eighth one, we're just looking at some of the footer down here, where it talks about, you know, the various covenants in the Scofield Study Bible, is the Palestinian covenant. And the Palestinian covenant is the covenant that grants the land. And this is the covenant, we could use this sort of phrase just for right now. We might be able to call it something else. But just if one's wanting to look it up in the Scofield Study Bible, we should use the software. And the software has the notes now. You can actually look up some of the study notes and get to it directly instead of doing what I'm doing here, going page by page. But in speaking on the seven covenants of the Ethiopia Kingdom of God, the covenant that is not mentioned is the Palestinian covenant. And the reason being that the Palestinian covenant was to give land to a people who did not have any land. So let's just understand that like that. It was to give land to a landless, you know, a landless people. Let's go away to the beginning, because we're just scrolling through right here. We could probably pick up on this in another reason, but at least let's leave enough information here for those who are willing to actually, you know, look it up for themselves. But so we have the eight, right, the eight covenants, right? There are the eight covenants, and one of those covenants is the land, you know, the land being given. Now, to Abraham was the fuller promise of the land that would be fulfilled in the fullness of time. But to the Israelites right here, there was a promise to provide, you could say, a land grant, you know, to grant them this particular land. So Jehovah is fulfilling that which he promised and he swore to their patriarchs, speaking of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, speaking of the Hebrew Trinity, because he is the Elohim of the Trinity, of the Hebrew Trinity, right? And to fulfill that to them. And here in 5 and 3, this brings us out more, and this emphasizes it. But keep this verse right here as we're speaking about the new covenant, because this is a very important verse as the Apostle Paul, Rav Shaul, as he's explaining these covenants, even within the Christian sense, right, he's still saying, I'm a Hebrew, I'm an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. And who are the Israelites and what pertained to them? And even within Romans, he explains that it's because of the disobedience, right, of the children of Israel that the other nations, the Goyim, are brought in this time of grace. And this is the very word, this expanding on the very word spoken to the prophets. Even when we talk about circumcision, when Paul is emphasizing on that circumcision of the heart, for the Yehudi, the Judahite, or the Israelite, it's not saying for us as Hebrews or Judahites or Israelites that circumcision is no more for us. It's a part of what is ours, but it's not imposed upon the other nations. This is not imposed upon the other nation. The basic key for the Israelite and the non-Israelite is the circumcision of the heart, because the prophets even bring out that although their fleshy member was circumcised, their heart, Tekoli, they were uncircumcised, right? So although they were sensitive in the flesh, they were desensitized in the heart. They did not have heart, right? And thus explains a lot of the heartless kind of history of the Israelites and the Hebrews that is recorded even right here scripturally. So a lot of these points that are brought forward in the New Testament, whether about circumcision, we have a foreshadowing the prophets, whether it's about turning to the Goyim, the nations, and how the nations are grafted in as a wild kind of olive, are grafted into this natural tree. Of that natural tree, the natural branches were broken off. We're broken off because of disobedience or hard of hearingness. We can call it hard of hearingness. But all of these are already there. So most of the, you could say, confusions or contradictions that we hear here and there and elsewhere, whether they're so-called atheists or people contradicting the Bible, most of these are imagined. These people have an imagination and also an ignorant lack of study as well. And besides, it's not theirs anyway. You know, based on what they're saying, it's not theirs anyway. So it's like me trying to go into somebody else's, like when the judge tells us that, you know, what the heathen and the other ites do with their gods, we are not to try to inquire, investigate, and see if we can benefit from it. You know what I mean? We're not to try to investigate or learn about these things to benefit them, or to put this to use for ourselves, right? You know, it's enough to know, well, they did that. They were the former tenants. They got evicted, you know, because they had violated the terms of their tenancy. This is what's been laid out by and large here in Deuteronomy. And the key verse that comes up and over again and again is so that it may be well with you in the land, that it may be good for you in the land, that all be well, that you have a good life in the land. These are the basic conditions, right? These are the terms and the conditions, and it's based on this covenant, Ha-Berit Hazot. Note that emphasis there, right? Because the Torah and the scripts also define these covenants. These covenants are defined, and they are defined as a kind of a cumulatory until we get to the eighth covenant, right, which is the Brit Chadasha, that renewed covenant, right? And here's where the fullness of the preceding, you know, like the seven, almost like the Sheminit, as we say, the Sheminit on the eighth, on the octave, you know, comes to that fulfillment even in the figure eight, in that eternity, that for I of a level in the fullness of times, in the end times of the what? The Gentiles, because Gentiles are the Goyim, the other nations, the Anglo-American, we would say, or the Greco-Roman, both are related. This is their times, and we are coming to the end of their times. And in a short turn of phrase, this is what you know or have heard of the end of the world. The times of the Gentiles, you know, we talk about, look what they did with Africa. Look how they carved artificial borders all over the world. Look how they divided Africa. That basically, another way of saying it from the scriptural point of view, is the times of the nations. When these European nations, and then the nation states, these artificial constructs called nation states, you know, like one speak about the state of Israel. Yes, we acknowledge there's such a thing called the state of Israel, right? But then there's also the kingdom. You see, but the kingdom authority, the true kingdom authority is an authority of the Father and has been given to I and I, the once lost, now found, even in that giving of the Constitution and bylaws, right, August 25th, 1937. Weep not, behold, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals.
Well, I think comparing, you know, China hosting, you know, dozens of heads of states compared to, you know, European regional bilateral relations is a fantastic example of how Europe has lost the game and has lost its upper hand in Africa. It's game over. Sorry, it's game over.
He that know the right and do it wrong shall be spanked with many strides. When the heathen have come, your children step wide. Even though they make mention of them and those, fire them will never be friends. Fire you know why? You know why? Yes. Them have the heart of a pagan. Your children have the heart of a lion, I know. Evil a move with Satan. Righteous shod in the countenance of the Almighty One. Them have the heart of demons. Your children have the heart of a lion, I know.
Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not.
There's no love in your heart on Monday. call him Jesus Christ and my son or down. One name, one hope, one destiny. Mr. Tree in one and a one in three. Johnny mommy guiding star. Mr. Johnny mommy guiding star. You could have come from near or you come from far. Driving a bus, bicycle or car. White like a flower and you black like tar. Mr. Johnny mommy guiding star. Behold ye my brethren, thou shalt not slumber nor sleep. And the hungry must be fed and the blind must be led. Kings and time is getting dread. Two shall be in the bed and one taken away. Behold my brethren, if you're righteous you'll be brave. Catch a mommy guiding star. It's a Jai mommy guiding star. And a Jai mommy guiding star. It's a once there is life, here is hope. Around I my neck we now go through on the road. And a Jai mommy guiding star. And a Jai mommy guiding star. Me surrender me heart and not me garment. So make we stick to Jah Jah commandment. Make we come parasite and pestilence. Cause a Jai mommy guiding star. You could have push and cat and ride and kick cat. Once you have the love of Jah in your heart, you and your brethren could have never part. And a Jai mommy guiding star. Mr. Jai mommy guiding star. Mr. Jai mommy guiding star. Why do we the rest? Martin Benson, false rulers of the earth, have set themselves in their position. While they're building them nuclear and atomic weapons, I'll be a big gift to the whole world.
Your guiding star is running in the sky. The guiding star is running in the sky. Suppose that star should ever fall, what would you think would happen?
Well, I've been a Rasta from ever since, you know. But it's not how long I've been a Rasta, how long it takes to grow up. Because what is what is from beginning to the end, it can never change. So we're not Rasta from creation.
Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidst, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgment, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword, and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease, and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, Lord? Wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses, which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people, wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen, and 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 amen.
The Ark of Covenant is supposedly somewhere in Ethiopia. That's why we went into Somalia, because Ethiopia is next door to Somalia. For all you folks who don't know this,
In Ethiopian life, the imperial ruler is likened in splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, splendor to the sun, an exalted power to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, to the lion, in his divine being to the kings of Israel, divine being to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, to the kings of Israel, and at times to God, and at times to God, and at times to God himself,
Shalom, Chavarim, Shalom. Today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of Ethiopian Hebrews. And here, after the order of Malachi Tzedek, we have Mizmor Peit 8, Mizmor Peit 8, Psalm LXXXIX, Psalm 89. Today's daily psalm is themed on meditation and agitation in national adversity. Masakil Itan Ha Ezrahi. It's a maskil of Etan, the Ezrahite. Today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order, agitation in national adversity. Two divisions are clearly marked in the Mizmor, in the psalm, with the break at verse 38, KJV, corresponding to verse 39 in the Sefer Tehillim in the Psalter, in the Hebrew Psalter. So two divisions are clearly marked in today's daily psalm, Mizmor Peit 8, Psalm 89, Psalm LXXXIX. Two divisions clearly marked, with the break at verse 38 in the KJV, the English, and in the Hebrew Sefer Tehillim at verse 39. The first section deals with the past, in which the two attributes of Ha'Elohim, the true good, the true God, the two attributes of Ha'Elohim, mercy and faithfulness, were abundantly demonstrated, manifested in his relation with Israel, with Israel. In particular, the promise to David, that his throne would endure forever, for ever, is recalled. Then comes the second section with its dark picture of the nation's vicissitudes and the overthrow of the kingdom, the government, by a triumphant enemy. So glaring is the contrast between the promise and its frustration that the psalmist in I gives utterance to his perplexity in forceful language, and finally prays that Ha'Elohim, the true good, the true God, will remember Amo, his people, his Zbu, that Jah will remember his people in their adversity. The circumstances and the situation, it point to the time, the Iowa, of the national downfall before the Babylonians. Today's daily psalm, according to the Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews, and here after the order of Malachi Tzedek, Melchizedek, Mizmor, we have Mizmor, right? Mizmor, Peit 8, Mizmor, Peit 8, from the Sefer Tehillim, Masakil, Le'etan, Ha'ezrahi. Chasidei Yahuwah, Olam Hashira, Lidor Wador, Odia, Emunateka, Bifi. I will sing of the mercies of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, forever, for ever. Chasidei Yahuwah, Olam Hashira, Chasidei Yahuwah, Olam Ashira, to all generations, Lidor Wador, Lidor Wador, Lidor Wador, Lidor Wador, to all generations, Odia Emunateka Bifi, will I make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. Will I make known, O Dia, Emunatika, the fi with my fi, the fi, the pi, the pi, the fi with my mouth. Today's daily psalm here, the opening first verse, inclusive of the superscription, maskil, a maskil of Etan, ha Ezrahi, Etan. Etan, the Ezrahite, a contemplation, a meditation, sine senos, meditation, an iditation, today's daily psalm right here, according to the royal order of the Ethiopian Hebrews. And now, opening with the theme, what is the theme of the Mizmor? What is the theme of the psalm? The theme of the psalm is brought out right here. It's a meditation. It's an iditation. Meditation and iditation in national adversity. National adversity. Who was Etan? Etan, the Ezrahite. Now, we have more on Etan, the Ezrahi, the Ezrahite, in Psalm 88. Psalm 88. So the psalm that precedes today's daily psalm, we have Haman. We have Haman, the Ezrahite. Now, some make the connection between Haman or Amon, Amon, Haman, Haman, the Ezrahite, and Etan, the Ezrahite. So now here, in today's daily psalm, just to give a groundation, we have today's psalm, which has about 49 to 50 verses, and it closes, today's daily psalm, it closes book three, the third book of the Psalter. As we know, and as we also make mention here, that the Psalms, the Psalter, the book of Psalms, the Sefer Tehillim, may be and is divided into five books, right? So there's five clearly distinguished books of the Psalms. This is why the Psalms often is likened, right, and reflective of HaTorah, the directions, instructions in this fivefold. It's fivefold, we could say, partitions, divisions, five books of the Psalms, the five books of the Psalms. So here, give ear right here, more on Etan in relation to Haman the Ezrahite. Haman the Ezrahite. So just reflecting here, just at the superscription, right? The superscription, we have a director of the temple music. Some say it's of uncertain identity in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6. There's a Haman is mentioned among the sons of Zerah, a Judahite. A Korahite named Haman is named in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 17 and 19, who together with Asaph and Etan was appointed to take charge of the instrumental music, the instrumental, the rhythm, you could say the rhythm, the instrumental music. This may be the man intended, but no connection can be traced between the Ezrahite, the Ezrahi clan, and the Levites. A reference occurs to a Haman coupled with Etan, the Ezrahi or Ezrahite, as a person of great wisdom. We find this reference in 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 11. Osterly suggests that, quote, there may well have been two Hamans and two Etans. Just to link that right here, we have Etan, the Ezrahite, in the superscription. And so we have a link between today's daily psalm and the preceding, and the psalm immediately preceding today's daily psalm, according to the royal order. So we have The first four verses, of Maskil, I will sing of the mercies, singing of the mercies of Jehovah Yahweh, Chasdei Yehovah, Olam, Ashira, I will sing of the mercies of Jehovah. To all generations, Lidor Wador, will I make known, O Dia, thy faithfulness, Emunatika, defeat with my mouth. With my mouth, KJV brings it out in the order of, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. So in the KJV, there's a slight reverse. There's a reverse of the order of the words. So in the Hebrews, it is, in the Hebrew we have to all generations, lador to ador. So the theme is chesed. The theme that we have right here is the chesed. What is the chesed? Now, the psalmist, and I and I in today's daily psalm, praises Ha'Elohim, the true good, the true God, as the sovereign creator, the blameless creator, the irator of the world. He recalls, he and I and I and we recalls John's covenant, the covenant of Yahweh, of Yah, with David, of David, but then laments. Then there's a lament, a lamentation, laments that the promises of the covenant remain unrealized or unfully fulfilled, unrealized. The covenant promised the Davidic king military victories, but the king HaMelech, the Negus, even Negus Negez, has now been subjected to humiliating defeat. So there's the constant word, right, the logos of it, and then we have also the rhema, the application of the words right here in the opening verse right here. Ha Elohim, the true good, the true God's acts of love, chesed, wrought and done for Yisrael, and in the fuller fulfillment for Ethiopia, Yisrael, out of his goodness. This is the meaning of the word throughout the Mizmor, throughout the psalm, the chant, the vocal intonation. There is no idea of Elohim exercising mercy in face of the people's sinfulness or awkfulness, awkery. There is no idea of Elohim, even El Elohe Yisrael, the true good, the true God of Yisrael, exercising mercy in face of the people's faithfulness. This is why, even right here in this opening foundational verse to today's daily psalm, mention of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, the maskil portion is often referred to, some interpret that as a well-written sense, you know, a composition, a golden composition. We link this with even the word which is to give praise with understanding, with understanding, with overstanding, to chant praises and eyes with understanding and overstanding in Psalm 47 and 7, bringing out the sense of maskil. But moving forward, this first verse right here, I will sing, right? I will sing, right? The faithfulness, right? I will sing of the mercies of Yahweh, of Jehovah, to all generations. Lador wador, will I make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. Emunateka. Emunateka is an interesting word. Emunateka. Emuna, faith, faithfulness. Also the link with the true, we can say the true, quote, religion, end quote. Not from the Latin, but now getting to our Ethiopian, Hebrew, Afro-Shemitic, to the true roots of I and I people. We have the hymenotes. We have the imnet. Here we have emunateka, thy faithfulness. Befi, with my mouth means publicly, right? Publicly, declaring publicly the eyes, faithfulness, word, sound, power to who? Lidor wador. So even here, you know, even in the season, we look according to the order of Ethiopian Hebrews when this psalm occurs, right, within the order and even connected even with the fifth book of Moshe, right, and that declaration to a new generation. We have a new generation which has declared that faithfulness from generation, Lidor Wador, Lidor Vador, Lidor Wador. For I have said, forever is mercy built in the very heavens. Thou dost establish thy faithfulness in the very heavens. Now, KJV brings it out, for I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness thou shalt establish in the very heavens. Ki amarti olam chesed yebane shamayim takin emunateka bahem. For I have said, forever is mercy built up, forever is mercy built up. This is the order of the Hebrew. The Hebrew words have this order. Ki amarti, for I have amar. I have said, ki amarti, olam. Olam chesed, olam, the worlds, the forever, sense of forever, it's the world without end. Chesed, chesed, that mercy, mercy, the word for mercy, the word for love or jalov, that chesed, chesed, yibaneh, 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 yibaneh is built. KJV brings out the sense of built up, right? Built up forever, built up forever. Is built up forever in the very heavens, thou dost establish thy faithfulness. So again, the idea as a theme. So you're looking at the theme, just getting a groundation right here in the Aleph, Beit, Gimel, right? The Abu Gida of today's daily psalm, or the Aleph, Beit, Gimel. The opening verse is getting a good groundation, because this psalm is a iditation. This psalm is a meditation. So just here in the presentment at this present time, bringing forward a groundation to today's daily psalm, Psalm 89. In the very heavens thou dost establish thy faithfulness. In the very heavens, Shamayim, Shamayim, Takin, Emunat Teka Bahem. Literally, the heavens, the eye establish the eye's faithfulness in them, in them. Heavens establish the eye's faithfulness, Emunat Teka, the eye's Emuna, the eye's firmness, security, morally, fidelity, thy faithfulness, even in the sense of thy truth, faithful, right, always faithful, always sure, the munatika, the I, speaking directly to he who be who he be, by him, the declaration that the I's faithfulness is established in them. For I have said, ki amarti, for I have said, after reflecting upon the national past, the psalmist detects certain outstanding lessons. The psalmist and I should detect here in today's daily psalm these outstanding. What are the lessons that just stand out from all the rest? And these, he and we proceed to state. For I have said, ki amarti, for I have said. What have I said? Forever is mercy built up. For I have said, mercy shall be built up for Iva. Mercy shall be built up for Iva. Olam, olam, chesed, yibane. Olam, chesed, yibane. Olam, forever, chesed, mercy, loving kindness, yibane, yibane. Built up, built, built, forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. How King James Version brings out the word. The word order in the Hebrew is in the very heavens. Shamayim. Shamayim, thou dost establish. Takin. Shamayim, takin. Emunateka bahem. In the very heavens, the heavens, the very heavens, Shamayim, Takin, thou dost establish. Emunateka, the eye's faithfulness, bahem. Emunateka bahem, bahem, in them, establish in them. You set up your faithfulness. Some say this may allude to Adonai's heavenly throne, which symbolizes his just rule, and from which Adonai decrees, right, his, right, it says right here, his promises, right, his promises, right, that in the true faith, there are no other conditions. So we can call it unconditional when one is in that true faith. But there's a key right here. He says, for I've said, reflecting on the nation's past, but detecting certain outstanding lessons, and these proceeding to state. He says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. Very, very interesting. Now let's look and listen, right? Iritically look, seen, sight. It says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. Karati briti libachiri Lib Khiri, I have made a covenant, karati, right? And the sense of making a covenant is almost like cutting, right? Like in the sense of cutting, right? I have made a covenant, karati, barita, li bakhiri, with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant, Nisha ba'iti, li David, abdi, my servant. Says, I have sworn, Nishba'iti, Shaba, right? I have sworn to David, my servant. So right here, this word, we even see right here at this particular verse, there is, who is speaking? The question here, who is speaking? I have made the words, right? The words often in some translations, bringing out the sense of this is that Adonai has said, the Lord, Jehovah has said, are supplied in many translations for the clarification. It is clear that the words of verses 3 to 4 are spoken by Adonai, in contrast to the first two verses, which are spoken by the psalmist, by I in that sense. So we see right here at the third verse in today's daily psalm, the context or the person, the speaker right here. It says, for I have said in verse 2, and then in verse 3, I have made a covenant. Who has made this covenant? Adonai has made the covenant with who? With his chosen. Who has he chosen? David, and sworn to David. Who is David? His servant. Forever will I establish thy seed. Ad olam akin zareka. I will establish, right? It's establish thy seed, thy race. Right, establishing thy seed, that is to say, establishing thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations. Build up thy throne to all generations. Now, this is all based on the key word, chesed. Chesed, we say chesed, chasid, chasidim, chesed, jalov, faithfulness, mercy. Nishba'iti, li David abdi. I have sworn to David, my servant. I have made a covenant with my chosen. Karati, berit, lib chiri. Nishba'iti, li David abdi. Forever will I establish thy seed, Ada Olam Akin Zareka, and build up thy throne to all generations. Uabaniti Lidor Wador Kisaka Sela. Forever to the Olam, to the world without end. Ad Olam Akin Zareka. To establish I, first person, Akin, Zar Eka. So here Yahweh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch HaShem, is speaking and recalling the words that he has spoken. Ua Baniti, and I build up, Lidor Wador, for generation and generation, to the generation and generation, Kisa Eka, the eyes throne, Kisa Eka, Selah, pause. Forever is mercy built up, notwithstanding the tragedies and the tragic condition and situation the once lost now found of Yisrael. We can say at the moment, Yahweh's chesed is an eternal structure rearing itself from earth to the Shemayim. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Though for rhythmical reasons, the verse is divided into two lines, its sense must be taken as a whole. Loving kindness and faithfulness shall be built. Loving kindness and faithfulness, chesed,
Emuna, faithfulness shall be built up and established forever in the Shemayim, the heavens declaring the glory of He who be, who He be. Ha-Elohim's covenant with David is to be the principal motif of the Mizmor, the psalm. So the psalmist Nainai reproduces a summary of the promise which Ha-Elohim had made to Ha-Melech, to the king, to the Negus, early in his reign, referring to 2 Samuel chapter 7. And so here, when we come to verse 4, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, we have a Selah. We have a Selah pause right here with the introducing right here in today's daily psalm right here, give ear, the theme of the Mizmor, the theme of the chant, agitation in national adversity, the covenant of Yahweh Jehovah with David, the covenant of He who be, who He be, with David and Israel's affliction, agitation.
What is true?
David, my servant, shall be king over them. They all shall have one shepherd.
It is good that you are here to record this picture of me in my palace garden at Addis Ababa. People who see this throughout the world will realize that even in the 20th century, with faith, courage, and a just cause, David will still beat Goliath.
And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. Evermore. 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 Evermore.
On this trip, the Emperor of Ethiopia saw more of Canada than many Canadians see who have lived here a lifetime. He met our people, and they took him to their hearts. He traveled our vast railway system and flew aboard our planes. At Expo 67, he bore gracefully the efforts of the crowds who wanted to get closer to him. What was he really like, this last remaining emperor in the world? This tiny, bearded man who pricked the conscience of the world before the League of Nations in 1936? Despite his diminutive size, I had the feeling I was talking with a giant among men. His eyes twinkle, but they pierce at the same time. You get the feeling that he knows what you're thinking before you speak. He continually pats the little dog, always at his side, and you feel he must be kind. You feel that your presence must be an interruption and an imposition, but he shows only interest and goodwill. As I prepared to leave after what was, I found out later, the first personal radio interview he ever granted, he stood up and prepared to shake hands before I had a chance to get to my feet. What was he like? I'd say he was regal.
Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.
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 Seven seals thereof. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah,
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 the Lion of the tribe of Judah,
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 the Root of David,
of David,
of David,
of David,
David.
David,
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 David, David,
David, David,
David, David,
hath prevailed to open the book
from the book,
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 and to loose the seven seals thereof, 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 seven seals thereof.
Lion of Judah shall break every chain.
የሰማነን አወቀነው የዳሰሰነን አገኘነው የአብርሃምን አምላክ የሚያየነን ጌታ ኤልሮሂም
መዝሙር 88 በቅንፍ 89
የእስራኤላዊው
የኤታን መዝሙር 88 በቅንፍ 89 መዝሙር 88 በቅንፍ 89 የእስራኤላዊው የኤታን ትምህርት። አቤቱ ምሕረትህን ለዘላለም ዘምራለሁ፣ እውነትህንም በአፌ ለልጅ ልጅ እናገራለሁ። እንዲህ ብለሃልና ምሕረት ለዘላለም ይመሰረታል፣ እውነትህም በሰማይ ይጸናል። ከመረጥኩት ጋር ቃል ኪዳኔን አደረግሁ፣ ለባሪያዬም ለዳዊት ማል ዘርህን ለዘላለም አዘጋጃለሁ፣ ዙፋንህንም ለልጅ ልጅ መሰርታል። አቤቱ ሰማያት ታምራትህን እውነትህንም ደግሞ በቅዱሳን ማኅበር ያመሰግናሉ። እግዚአብሔርን በሰማይ የሚተካከለው ማን ነው? ከአማልክትስ ልጆች እግዚአብሔርን ማን ይመስለዋል? በቅዱሳን ምክር እግዚአብሔር ክቡር ነው፣ በዙሪያው ባሉት ሁሉ ላይ ታላቅና ግሩም ነው። አቤቱ የሰራዊት አምላክ እንዳንተ ያለ ማን ነው? አቤቱ አንተ ብርቱ ነህ፣ እውነትህም ይከብሃል። የባህርን ኃይል አንተ ትገዛለህ፣ የሞገዱንም መናወጥ አንተ ዝም ታሰኘዋል። አንተ ረዓብን እንደ ተገደለ አዋረድከው፣ በኃይልህም ክንድ ጠላቶችህን በተንሃቸው። ሰማያት ያንተ ናቸው፣ ምድርም ያንተ ናት። ዓለምንና ሞላውም አንተ መሠረት፣ ሰሜንንና ደቡብን አንተ ፈጠር። ታቦርና አርሞኔምም በስምህ ደስ ይላቸዋል። ክንድህ ከኃይልህ ጋር ነው፣ እጅህ በረታች፣ ቀኝህም ከፍ ከፋ። የዙፋንህ መሠረት ጽድቅና ፍርድ ነው፣ ምሕረትና እውነት በፊትህ ይሄዳሉ። እልልታ የሚያውቅ ሕዝብ ምስጉን ነው፣
አቤቱ በፊትህ ብርሃን ሄዳሉ በስምህ ቀኑ ሁሉ ደስ ይላቸው በጽድቅህም ከፍ ከፍ ይላሉ የኃይላቸው ምትምክህ አንተ ነህና በሞገስህም ቀንዳችን ከፍ ከፍ ይላል ረድኤታችን ከእግዚአብሔር ከንጉሳችንም ከእስራኤል ቅዱስ ነውና በዚያን ጊዜ ለልጆችህ በራእይ ተናገር እንዲህም አለ ረድኤቴን በኃያል ላይ አኖር ከሕዝቤም የተመረጠውን ከፍ ከፍ አደረ ባሪያዬን ዳዊትን አገኘሁ ቅዱስ ዘይትም ቀባሁ እጄም ትረዳዋለች ክንዴም ታጠናዋለች ጠላት በእርሱ ላይ አይጠቀምም ያመጣ ልጅም መከራ አይጨምርበትም ጠላቶቹን ከፊቱ አጠፋለሁ የሚጠሉትንም አዋርዳቸዋል እውነቴና ምሕረቴም ከእርሱ ጋር ነው በስሜም ቀንዱ ከፍ ከፍ ይላል እጁን በባህር ላይ ቀኙንም በወንዞች ላይ አኖራል እርሱ አባቴ አንተ ነህ አምላኬ መድኃኒቴም መጠጊያዬ ይላል እኔም ደግሞ በኩሬ አደርገዋለሁ ከምድር ነገሥታትም ከፍ ይላል ለዘላለምም ምሕረቴን ለእርሱ ጠብቃል ኪዳኔም በእርሱ ዘንድ የታመነ ዘሩንም ለዓለምና ለዘላለም ዙፋኑንም እንደ ሰማይ ዘመን አደርጋል ልጆቹ ግን ሕጌም ቢተዉ በፍርዴም ባይሄዱ ሥርዓቴንም ቢያረክሱ ትእዛዜንም ባይጠብቁ ኀጢአታቸውን በበትር በደላቸውንም በመቅሰፍት ጐበኛታል ምሕረቴን ግን ከእርሱ አላርቅም በእውነቴም አልበድልም ኪዳኔንም አላረክስም ከከንፈሬም የወጣውን አልለውጥም ዳዊትን እንዳልዋሸው አንድ ጊዜ በቅዱስነቴ ማር ዘሩ ለዘላለም ዙፋኑም በፊቴ እንደ ፀሐይ ይኖራል ለዘላለም እንደ ጨረቃ ይጸናል ምስክርነቱ በሰማይ የታመነ ነው አንተ ግን ናቅኸው ጣልኸው የቀባኸውንም ጣልኸው የባሪያህንም ኪዳን አፈረስ መቅደሱንም በምድር አረካ ቅጥሩን ሁሉ ጣል አምባዎቹንም አጠፋ መንገድ አላፊም ሁሉ ተናጠቀው ለጎረቤቶቹም ስድብ ሆነ የጠላቶቹንም ቀኝ ከፍ ከፍ አደረገ ጠላቶቹንም ሁሉ ደስ አሰኝ የሰይፍንም ረድኤት መለስ በሰልፍም ውስጥ አልደገፍከውም ከንጽህናውም ሻርከው ዙፋኑንም በምድር ጣልክ የዙፋኑንም ዘመን አሳነስ በእፍረትም ሸፈንክ አቤቱ እስከ መቼ ለዘላለም ፊትህን ትመልጣለህ እስከ መቼስ ቁጣህ እንደ ሳት ይነዳል ችሎታዬ ምን እንደሆነ አስብ በውኑ የሰውን ልጅ ሁሉ በከንቱ ፈጠርከውን ሕያው ሆኖ የሚኖር ሞትንስ የማያይ ማን ነው ነፍሱንስ ከሲኦል እጅ የሚያድን ማን ነው ለዳዊት በእውነት የማን አቤቱ የቀድሞ ምሕረትህ ወዴት ነው አቤቱ የባሪያዎችህን ስድብ በብብቴ ብዙ አሕዛብን የተቀበልሁትን አቤቱ ጠላቶችህ የሰደቡትን የቀባኸውን ዘመን የሰደቡትን አስብ እግዚአብሔር ለዘላለም ይባረክ ይሁን ይሁን
Amen. 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 Amen.
Blame my cause, so Lord, with them that strive with me, fight against them that fight against me. Take all them shield and buckle and stand up for my health and draw down, so the spirit stop away against them that persecute me. Dear to my soul, I am thy salvation. But I am, I'm telling.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Lord of my life, let me tell you my salvation.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Amen. That's what we've been told to say it. Amen. Amen. But in the Hebrew, more correctly, it'll be Amen. Also in the Royal Amharic, in the Ethiopic, Amen. Amen. Now, of course, the English A, the letter A, the strange vowel, it's a strange vowel. Actually, it'll be the E-U-E-R-A, A, A. That's the way it's said in the Western, but more correctly, it will be E-U-E-R, Amen, Amen. So the A sound is actually on the second sound, Amen. But otherwise, one will say Amen. But here in today's psalm, in Psalm 89, that last little section there, let's go over it right here, a reasonment that we were actually reasoning on, then got into today's psalm and said, Chan, here is the Amen with Amen, the Amen and Amen, here. So here we go to today's daily psalm, and we go to the very last verse. If you are looking at this in the KJV, it would be verse, I think, 52. Here in the Hebrews, verse 53, the one that reads, Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. In the Hebrew, Baruch Yahuwah le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Modern Hebrew, Amen v'amen. Amen v'amen. Ancient pointing, Amen v'amen. Amen v'amen. Amen ve'amen. Amen v'amen. So here. Blessed be. Baruch. Blessed. Yahuwah, he who be, who he be, le'olam, forever. Now, also another interesting note, not to get into in great detail here, but to note it for the Havarim, is this idea of world. This idea of world in the Hebrew, we have the word olam. We have olam haba, olam world haba, haba to come, and the olam hazot, the olam hazet, the olam hazot, and this world, the world to come, and this world. Also in today's psalm, A maskil, a teaching, composition of Ethan the Ezrahite. He uses terminology right here concerning forever. Let's see if we can just look at the Hebrew and just to bring it out. Why I'm pointing to it is because when we hear the phrase, for God so loved the world, could also be Hebraically interpreted as for God, for the power, Hailahim, so love forever, or he has forever love. For the power, the source, the true good, the true God has forever love. So this word that's sometimes translated in English as world also is translated as forever. So that's a kind of a companion point right here. As we have in the first verse, I will sing of the mercies of Jehovah forever. Chastei Yahuwah olam, ashira, ashira, ashira. I will sing a song, ashira, ashira. Chastei Yahuwah olam, ashira. Brought out as, I will sing of the mercies of he who be, who he be, chesedei. Chesedei is a conjunctive. We have chesed, mercy, loving kindness. Chesed, one of the attributes, the 13 revealed attributes of he who be, who he be. This is why the true meaning of Yahweh, be he who be, who he be, he who becomes, who he becomes. And then he revealed those attributes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here. Chesedei Yahuwah, the mercies of he who be, who he be, olam. Literally, it's the word for world. But in the context here, it's forever. Because we get to the root of the alam, and alam has a hidden aspect. as far as time, speaking of time, is to an indefinite time. Forever is an indefinite time. Not in the Western Gentile sense of forever, forever, ever, ever, ever. You know, that sense really don't make sense in the Hebrew, but bringing out the Hebrew sense, olam, for the world, for ever, in the sense of for time indefinite. Chasdei Yahuwah olam asherah. Now, if this was translated as elsewhere, it would read something like the mercies of Jehovah, world, I will sing. It even makes some sense there as well. But I'm just zooming in on the word olam because we hear people in the translation say, for God so loved the world, as though his love was for the world, instead of his love being for Yisrael and the patriarchs and matriarchs of Israel, because they accepted the yoke, the discipline, as the Moshiach, Yeshua says, take my yoke, take my discipline. The Bnei Yisrael accepted the yoke of Torah, the yoke of his direction, instruction, the discipline of his direction, instruction. And then we also find this again in the next verse where it says, for I said, forever is mercy built. Ki amarti, ki for amarti, I have said, olam chesed yibane, olam chesed yibane, forever is mercy built, olam forever a world, chesed, mercy, loving kindness, yibane, is built or will be built. So I just zoom in on that right there, because here in the benediction of today's psalm, the closing doxology, a doxology, like orthodoxa, doxa means like opinion, thinking, praise from the Koine Greek. So orthodoxa is like the straight thinking or right thinking in that sense. A doxology is something that is said as a baraka, as a blessing. So the closing doxology, Baruch Yahuwah le'olam, amen wa'amen. Blessed be he who be who he be, le'olam, forever. Amen and amen. So here, let's bring this out right here. Here in the Midrash, the study, right, it said, blessed be the Lord forevermore, amen and amen. Going to Psalm 89, verse 52. And Rav Eliezer said in the name of Rav Jose ben Zimra, he said that the Amen, the wisdom of the ancient sages, the Amen is used in three ways. Amen, Hebraically. Three ways. As an assent to truth. So some truth that is spoken, Amen. Now when we get to the root of Amen, the Aleph, the Mim, and the Nun, we have Amen, Aman, it's a verb. Like in Amharic, if I say Amnalo, that could be translated as I believe, I admit as truth. More literally, bringing out the Amharic sense, I admit as truth. I'm admitting as true. I'm admitting to it as true. I don't know if it's true, but I admit to it as truth. Amnalo. Amen-alo. Amen-alo. Amnalo. From the Amenet root. But here, to what Rav Eliezer said in the Shem of Rav Jose ben Zimra, Amen is used in three ways. Also note the fingerprint of he who be who he be, the Trinity of the Hebrew Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the three ways. One, as an assent to truth, as an assent to emet, right? As an oath, and as showing acceptance. Amen, as an assent to truth, it occurs in the verse that we have in Genesis, in Bereshit, Genesis 42 and 20, where it says, so shall your words be verified. So the sense of verity, amen, amen, I say to you, Robein, or Einai Rabbi, the Rabbi Shuha Moshiach, in many of the areas where he said, like, verily, verily, amen, amen. And then we have in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, that a name of Moshiach, of Yeshua, is the amen. I know people will sometimes go to ancient Mitzrayim and say, oh, look, we have statues and wall paintings and carving, yes. But the language was longer than that because in the beginning was the word. So different people figured from the common roots different ideas in different ways. But here, Hebraically, Amen is an assent to truth. It occurs even in the words in Genesis 42 and 20. So shall your words be verified, be Amen, in other words. Amen as an oath. It occurs in the verse from Numbers, Bamidbar, where the woman shall say, Amen, Amen, I admit as truth, it's true. I admit as true, true and faithful it is. In fact, in Revelation, the Chazon of Yohanan, the vision of John and Johannes Rai, in Revelation 3:14, it says, the true and the faithful witness, he is the Amen, the true and the faithful witness, bringing out the Hebraic, the sense of the meaning. So the woman in Numbers 5 and 22, she shall say, Amen, Amen, that she has testified, and she has testified the truth. Amen to show acceptance. It occurs in the verse from Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 6. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. True, faithful. True and faithful it is. So when Amen is repeated, here from the notes from Psalm 89, right here, the Midrash notes, when Amen is repeated, as we have in today's song, Amen, Wamein, Amen, Wamein, Amen, with Amen. One is the Amen for this world, and the other Amen is for the world to come. So one Amen for Olam Hazot, this world, and one for Olam Haba, the world to come. This is intimated by the words we have right here in the fulfillment of the 89th Psalm. Baruch Yahweh le'olam. Amen ve'amen. Now let's go on a little bit more, how much time we have right here. Hopefully we pick up on this even more in this Shabua right here, right? Referring to a reference book, one of the best that we found. This book is called The Prayer as a Jew, Guide to the Prayer Book and the Synagogue Service by Chaim Halevi Donen, right? By a rabbi named Chaim Halevi Donen. And from our years of reading and researching and, you know, growing up in the knowledge of it, I get to recognize that his compilation right here is one of the best, getting straight to the point and bringing out things that, you know, sometimes you find a book or you find some writing and it has everything right there, or a lot of things that it took you going here and there to kind of piece it together. So I share this one right here, a little bit more on the Amen, a little bit more on the Amen. So here in chapter 11, there's responses in prayer, and it's speaking of the Amen, the Amen. The Hebrew word Amen has entered almost every language in the world and is today one of the most universally known words. Now, as we mentioned earlier, the Afro-Shemitic, the Ethiopic, Amen, Amen, is one and the same with the Hebrew, even in the pointed manuscripts, Amen. The European Jews, the Ashkenazi, they have another mother tongue, different mother tongue. They pronounce it as Amen, Amen, Amen. Instead of Ah, it's Amen. You know that in Christianity, the Western Gentile world, they say Amen, Amen. And the Sephardi Yehudi, the Spanish Jews from ancient times, they say it as we say it, Amen, Amen. So the proper Hebraic pronunciation is Amen, but it has gone into many different languages, right? It is also one of the most ancient and originating in HaTorah. We have it here, point of reference in the Torah, as a response of affirmation. Now, I know ones will go back and talk about the so-called Amen. First of all, in ancient Egypt, you're going to have to tell me exactly how do you think that word is said. But we have various words that come from this Trinity root. The Trinity root in the Shemitic languages, words have three letters that compose the most ancient roots. And the words appear as verbs as well as nouns and give various different pronunciations to different formations based on patterns. So it's like, how can I say, it's like somebody has something called a caller, but in their language they don't have calling, called, I call, you know what I mean, the different verb forms of it. They just have one form of it. This is what we find in ancient Egypt. So it points to, remember, the Mitzrayim from Ham, from Ham, from Noah, according to the Hebrew testimony. So it's a shared roots. But here, in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verses 16 to 26, we find a series of pronouncements by the Levim, the Levites, to which the people responded, Amen. The book of Chronicles, right, 1 Chronicles 16:35, clearly indicates that in the time of King David, Dawit HaMelech Negus Dawit, he was the second king of Israel, or the second Messiah, so to speak, of Israel, anointed king of Israel, roughly around 1000 BCE, the people responded with Amen upon hearing HaBraka, upon hearing the Baraka, the blessing. So when he heard the blessing said, Blessed be Jehovah, the power of Yisrael, from now and to all eternity. When he heard that Baraka right there, the blessed be he who be who you be, they responded in the time of Dawit by saying Amen. And we link the Amen in that sense Hebraically to the expression in the Royal Amharic, Aminalo, Amen, Alo, admitting Alo, I admit, as almost like a conjunction, constructive, the two parts, Amen, the root of admitting, right, or accepting as true, Alo, I. So I admit as truth, Amen, Alo, bringing out the sense of admittance. And this word is also connected with the word for faith, Like in the Royal Amharic, we have Imnet, right? In the Hebrew, we have Emuna. Also in the Ethiopic, we have Haimanot, Amene, Amenot, Emuna. So we have this in various different forms, both here as an affirmation to truth, as an acceptance of a baraka so said. Now, the diligent reader and student, fellow Haber, Haberim, who seeks to find Amen elsewhere in the Bible, should also refer, as we mentioned, to Numbers chapter 5, verse 22, to Kings, 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 36, to Psalms chapter 41, verse 14, to Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 5, and chapter 28, verse 6, to Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 13, some other interesting Amen expressions. Now, in the Sephardic Hebrew, the Spanish-speaking Jew, Mediterranean Yehudi, the A in Amen is pronounced as an ah, as an ah. In the English, it's pronounced as an A, but in the Hebrew, Sephardic, as an ah. The Ashkenazi, the Eastern European Gomorite Yehudi, they pronounce it as an aw, aw, Amen, aw. The accent in both cases is on the second syllable, Amen, Amen. When a person says the word Amen, he or she indicates their endorsement of the debarim, the kalos, the word sound, that he has just heard, and affirms his or her admittance in the truth, the emet, the ilnet, of what has been said. He acknowledges his identification with the prayer or the braka, the blessing, as though he himself had said it, where Amen follows a petitionary braka or a prayer of supplication. It also carries the meaning of so may it be, so let it be. So if a petitionary, when you're petitioning, begging, beseeching, asking, or if it's a prayer of supplication, you're supplicating or interceding, the Amen in that sense would be like, so be it. Now it's interesting because in the Amharic we have another term, Yehun, Yehun, as in name Yekuno Amlak, but Yehun means let it be, Yehun. So that brings us that sense of Amen. I admit it's true, true and faithful, so be it, may it be so, may it be so. Looking at the time right here, 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 I'm going to pick up on this a little bit more. There's some interesting traditional rules and applications to the Amen, and many of them we find applicable for I and I and I and I. But here, 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 brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers, looking at the time that we have right here on the board, really don't want to get into...
Amen, amen.
The Lord, the Lord, the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
A privilege this I know now. Can't even think of flying away. The only place me feel like home. How can I ever walk away from me, lady? Jerusalem. How can I ever walk away from me, mama? She would never overspend. Can't deny what happens to me when I read the Bible, and how many people overcome their troubles, and the roots of my sisters and my brother. Just like you, I feel the pain when the children are dying and mamas are crying. Just like you, I feel the joy when
everything is airy. The sun is shining, oh yo yo yo. So give me the feeling that I belong, Rastafari. Give me the feeling that I belong. Well, me na ever did ya wrong, no no. Give me the feeling that I belong, and ya forever keep I strong now.
Here, my skill. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor Faith 8, Mizmor Faith 8, Psalm 89. My skill, Le Etan, Ha Ezrahi, Ha Ezrahi, my skill of Etan, the Ezrahite. My skill, Le Etan, Ha Ezrahi. These words are to be considered in the light and illumination of the verse from Scripture that reads, even from Jeremiah 9:23. But let him make him that glorious, glory in this. Kiim bizota yita halela hamita halela. That he understandeth and knoweth I. Haskela we yadoa oti. That he understandeth. Haskel and knoweth me and knoweth I that I am Yahuwah. Jehovah, he who be, who he be, who exercise mercy, justice, and righteousness in the earth. Ki ani Yahuwah oseh chesed mishpat awitzedaka ba'aret. When Etan, the Ezrahite, when Etan ha-Ezrahi said, I understand, hence, maskil le'Etan ha-Ezrahi, maskil, of Etan, the Ezrahite, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, replied, dost thou understand that, according to the words of Jeremiah 9:23, in these things I delight, ki be'ele chafatzti, in these things I delight, ki be'ele chafatzti, and that any man who would praise me, must praise I only with these things, Thus again, Scripture says, even in the words, of Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Sacrifice. Ki chesed chafatzti lo zabach, for I desire mercy. Ki chesed chafatzti and not sacrifice. Lo zabach. Etan ha Ezrahi, Ethan the Ezrahite said to Ha'el, to Elohim, the true God, thou, the I, desires mercy, and I shall praise, eyes as the eye, with mercy, as is said in Psalm 62, verse 13. Also to the eye, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Ulecha Adonai chesed, also to the eye. Ulecha Adonai, O Adonai, chesed, also to the eye, O Adonai, belongeth mercy. Ulecha Adonai chesed. And not with one mercy alone, but with many mercies. For as it is said, even in Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Isaiah 63 and 7, I will make mention of the mercies of the Lord. Chasdei Yahuwah Azkir, I will make mention of the mercies of Jehovah. Chasdei Yahuwah Azkir. Hence, here, even in today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Feit 8, Psalm 89, Hebraically, here, at verse 2, hence, I will sing of the mercies of Jehovah forever, forever. Chasdei Yahuwah Olam Ashirah. I will sing of the mercies of Jehovah forever, forever. Chasdei Yahuwah Olam Ashirah.
Ashirah, Ashirah, Ashirah.
For I have said, the world is built on mercy. In the very heavens thou, the eye, dost establish thy faithfulness. Ki amarti olam chesed yibane shamayim takin emunateka bahem. For I have said, ki amarti, forever, forever, olam is mercy built. Olam chesed yibane, in the very heavens shamayim thou dost establish, takin, thy faithfulness. Emunateka vahem, vahem, vahem. Not the heavens alone, not Shemaim alone, but the throne,
the throne, the throne,
too, is established on nothing, on no thing, on nothing, nothing other than mercy. As is said in Yeshayahu, in Isaiah, Yeshayah, Isaiah 16 and 5, and in mercy shall the throne be established. Wuhukan ba chesed kisei. And in mercy shall the throne be established. Wuhukan ba chesed kisei. With what is kisei, is the throne, to be compared? With a throne that had four legs, one of which was short, so that he who sat upon the throne was shaken. Therefore, he took a pebble and propped up the throne. Thus, like this, also the throne of Shemayim, the throne of heaven, was shaken. If one dare say such a thing, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, propped it up. And wherewith did Ha'el, did Elohim, prop it up? With mercy. Hence, here it is said, the world is built on mercy. The world is built on mercy. And so David said, in the words of Psalm 136 and 5, to him that by wisdom built the heavens. Le ose hashemayim biya tebuna. Le ose hashemayim biya tebuna. To him that by wisdom, tebuna, tebuna, understanding, intelligence, tebuna, to him that by wisdom made the heavens. Le'ose hashamayim biya tebuna. On what then do hashamayim, the heavens stand? On mercy. As the verse concludes, for his mercy is for the world. For his mercy is for the world. Ki le'olam chasdo. For his mercy is for the world. For his mercy endureth forever. For his mercy is for the world. Ki le'olam chasdo. And again, in the words,
the words of Psalm 136, the next verse, verse 6, to him that spread forth the earth above the waters, to him that spread forth the earth above the waters, li roka'a ha'aretz al hamayim, to him that spread forth the earth above the waters, li roka'a ha'aretz al hamayim. Why this baraka? Why this blessing? Because his mercy is for the world. For his mercy, ki le'olam chasido. And this refrain runs throughout the whole mizmor, the whole psalm, the whole chant, the whole intonation. And besides all these acts of mercy, and beside all of these acts of mercy in Psalm 136, verse 25, it reads, he giveth food to all flesh. He giveth food to all flesh. Noten lechem lekol basar. Noten lechem lekol basar. He giveth food to all flesh. This verse tells you that his providing of sustenance outweighs all the other works of creation put together. Rav Eliezer taught, the necessities of life are like redemption. The necessities of life are like redemption. As redemption is miraculous, so the necessities of life are miraculous. As the necessities of life come every day, so redemption comes every day. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Samuel Bar Nachmani taught, the necessities of life are greater than redemption. For while redemption is at the hand of an angel, as is said even in Bereshit, in Genesis, Genesis 48 and 16, the angel who hath redeemed me from all evil, Hamalaka Hagoela Otia Mikol Ra'a, the angel who redeemed me, ha malak, ha goela oti, from all evil, mi kol ra'a. The necessities of life, of liberty, depend from the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the hand of the Holy One, blessed be He. As is said even in Psalm 145, and 16, thou, the eye, openest thy hand and satisfiest every living thing with favor. Poteach et yadika u'amasbi'a l'kol chai ratzon. Thou openest thy hand, poteach et yadika, and satisfiest every living thing with favor. U'amasbi'a l'kol chai ratzon. Hence here, olam chesed ibaneh. Hence here, the world is built on mercy. Olam chesed ibaneh. What parable, what mashal fits the creation, the iration of the world? The mashal, the parable of a king, of a melech, of a negus, even negus neges, who had treasuries filled with good things, and who asked, to what end are these things laid up? I shall get thy servants, give them to eat and to drink, so that they will praise me. Just so the world was waste and empty, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, rose up and created the earth and made man rule everything. Therefore, what ought we, I and I, to do? To bless and praise our Creator. Even so, Scripture says in the words of Psalm 150 and 6, let make everything that have breath praise Yahuwah, praise Jehovah. Kol ha'neshama tihalel Yah, hallelujah. Make everything that hath breath. Kol ha'neshama. Kol ha'neshama, let make everything that hath breath, kol ha'neshama, praise Yah. Kol ha neshama tehalel Yah. Hallelujah. Praise ye Yah. Blessed be the Lord forevermore, for evermore. Amen and amen. Baruch Yahuwah le'olam. Amen. We amen. Blessed be he who be who he be for evermore. Amen and amen. Baruch Yahuwah le'olam. Amen. We amen. The concluding verse of today's daily psalm, Mizmor, Faith 8, Psalm 89. Rav Eliazar said in the name of Rav Jose ben Zimra, Amen is used in three ways. Amen is used in three ways. As an assent to truth, as an oath, and as showing acceptance. Amen is used in three ways. As an assent to truth, as an oath, and as showing acceptance. Amen as an assent to truth comes in the verse, even the verse in Bereshith in Genesis 42 and 20. So shall your words be verified. So shall your words be verified. Ve'emanu divrekem. And so shall your words be verified. Ve'emanu divrekem. Amen. As an oath occurs in the verse, even in Bamidbar in Numbers 5:22. And the woman shall say, Amen, Amen,
Amen, Amen,
Amen. Ve'amra ha'isha, Amen, Amen. And the woman shall say, Ve'amra ha'isha, Amen, Amen. Amen to show acceptance occurs in the verse from Nehemiah 8 and 6. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen,
Amen, Amen,
Amen, Amen. Wa ya'inu kol ha'am, Amen, Amen. And all the people answered, Wa ya'inu kol ha'am, Amen, Amen,
Amen, Amen.
When Amen is repeated, one Amen is for this world, and the other Amen is for the Olam Haba, is for the world to come. This is intimated in the words, even the words concluding today's daily psalm, Mizmor Faith 8, Psalm 89. Baruch Yahuwah le'olam, Amen, ve'amen. Blessed be Jehovah, blessed be he who be who he be. Baruch Yahuwah forevermore, le'olam, Amen, ve'amen. Amen and amen, amen. 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 Amen.
Made the moon and the stars rule by night,
for his mercy endure forever. To him that smite Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endure forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endure forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out hand, he divided the Red Sea and made Israel depart through the midst of it, for his mercy endured forever. Whoa. Unto the Lord of Lords, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God of God, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord of Lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him alone who doeth great things, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which lead the people through the wilderness, for his mercy endured forever. To him which who smite great kings, for his mercy endured forever. Whoa. For he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. To him alone who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him alone who doeth great things, for his mercy endureth forever. Whoa. Whoa.
Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children.
Really full, but they're starving. Have a lot of
Virgin Mary. From that time on, he lived an exemplary life, a life which men everywhere must emulate. This life and the faith that he has taught us assures us of salvation, assures us also of harmony and good life upon earth. Because of the exemplary character of the life of Jesus Christ, it is necessary that all men do their maximum in their human efforts to see to it that they approximate as much as they can the good example that has been set by him. It's quite true that there is no perfection in humanity. From time to time, we make mistakes, we do commit sins, but even as we do that, deep in our heart as Christians, we know we have a chance of forgiveness from the Almighty. He taught us that all men are equal, regardless of sex, their national origin and tribe. And he also taught us, all who seek him shall find him. To live in this healthy life, a Christian life, is what makes me follow Jesus Christ.
Imperial Majesty, what advice would you give a person who is considering the claims of Christ, perhaps for the first time?
I would tell a person that's considering the claim of Christ for the first time that it is necessary to have faith in the Almighty, that it's necessary to have love, and that it's necessary to conduct oneself in a manner that we have been taught to do in the Bible. I would advise him to read and to study the Bible. I would also advise him to seek secular knowledge. For the more one knows, the more he realizes the need for a prime mover, the need for a creator, who's good, and the need for salvation and also for peaceful life upon earth. I'll also tell him to learn and to think for himself the ways he would serve the Lord. In this thought and in this undertaking of his, he will inevitably find the way of serving his fellow men. For his faith would then be manifested by his conduct. If Christians behave in this way, if we dedicate ourselves to this fundamental task, then we will have a peaceful world and will be assured of not transgressing against the will and the commandments of God.
Imperial Majesty, are there any incidents in your life which stand in your memory as times when faith in Christ sustained you?
There are many instances in my life where the belief in the Almighty and the Christian faith has sustained me in times of trouble and difficulties. No matter what may befall a human being, he can always succeed in overcoming it in time if he has the strength of faith and praise to God. For inevitably, he comes to the assistance of those that believe in him and those that through their work live an exemplary life. This goes not only for Christians in my view, but for all men. I think God commiserates with those that find themselves in misfortune.
Amen, amen. Shalom, Haverim. Shalom.